And welcome, everybody, to episode 679 of RP Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohort, Eric the Great. Breakman the Bold is on assignment today, so it's just going to be Eric
cut
and
out
I.
At some point.
Well,
I disconnected.
I don't know. Maybe you did, but thanks for stumbling on the intro there, Eric. But Breakman is on assignment. He's not going to be here this week that I know of. He may join us late. I'm not 100% sure, but we're here, and we're gonna do the best show we can without Breakman. Eric RPG, as I said, is with me. Eric, how are you?
I'm fine, mostly.
All right. Why don't we go ahead and get started with the news and get that out of the way.
RPG News.
All right, Eric, you are up. What you got for us?
No, I need to change my stinkos, but just ignore it. When we get to stinkos, you can just skip over.
All right, that's fine.
But we've got from RPG Site, cooperative cyberpunk action RPG, The Ascent, launches on March 24th for PlayStation 5 and PlayStation 4. And a new Cyberwarrior pack DLC pack is available for Steam players, which includes new weapons, armors, and skins, priced at $5.
Wow, not bad, I guess.
And a new update to the game adds a new game plus mode along other bug fixes. And there's patch notes, which we're not going to talk about.
All right. So there you go. The Ascent. I would have played a video.
If you have the Xbox, then it's on Game Pass currently.
Yeah. I would have played a video, but of course it's age restricted. But so there you go. I think that's the whole story, right, Eric?
Yeah.
All right. Next story comes to us from RPGsite.net, if my browser decides to cooperate here. Void, asterisk, TRLLM2, parentheses, semicolon, /, Void Terrarium 2 releases for PS4 and Switch on June 30th in Japan. So, aforementioned titled, it's a sequel to Void Terrarium. I mean, I think that's lead speak for Terrarium, I guess. I don't know. Will be available, like I said, in Japan. Player will control. Let's see. The player. Man, my browser's acting up. Okay. The player will control the robot in exploring roguelike dungeons to gather materials to build and maintain a terrarium, an environment tube set to preserve Toriko's life. Sequel will add new objects that after the terrarium that alter the terrarium's environment, like temperature and humidity. The game will also require the player to keep a balance of humidity to ensure Toriko's health. If it's too low, it will dry her to the bone. If the humidity is too high, it will instead cause mold to cover Toriko entirely. There will also be more new diseases that threaten Toriko, such as one that would inflate her body like a balloon. Nipponichi has also uploaded a trailer, which I'm playing right now. These titles are interesting, but they just took down the video. Great. But it looks okay. Did you get a chance to play the first one, Eric?
No.
Yeah. I mean, it looks fun, you know. So, you know, it's one of those survival type things where you got to keep things just right. Otherwise, you know.
I have it on PS5. I need to get to it.
Yeah. All right, Eric, what do we got next?
I'm surprised there's no PS5 announcement for this game, though. It's so weird. Maybe you'll get a port when ISA finally localizes it, but whatever.
Yeah.
But, we've got a Nier Automata anime coming. That's the next article. And, not much news other than that was announced. It's a thing now.
Yeah, I'm looking at the trailer. It's not much of even. It's like more like a teaser than anything. But I mean, you know, this world is interesting. Nier Automata. It's an interesting world that, you know, could be explored in anime. So if they do a good job, then, you know, I'm all for stuff like this. Like, when they started in with the Dead Space world, Eric, like when they started making, like, you know, cartoons and, you know, did other things with that property, I was all for it. I like, you know, a little bit of backstories and, you know, offshoots and things of that nature. I think it's fine when they do stuff like this if it's done right. So no problem with that. All right, anything else to this story, Eric?
Not really.
All right, next story comes to us from RPGsite.net, and it's about Soul Hackers 2 coming to the PlayStation, Xbox, and PC on August 26th. So it's a brand new sequel to Atlus's Soul Hackers. Blah blah blah, and there's a trailer for it. And there you go. So that's the news. Let me.
Some people are upset that there's no Switch version, but after the terrible performance that they suffered using the Unreal Engine on Shin Megami Tensei 5, I don't think they want to bother.
Yeah, lots of problems.
It's
there.
A type of game that needs to be flashy and it needs to work. To be flashy.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, I've even noticed some of those little glitchy things when I threw in. What do you think the problem is? Is it the Unreal Engine is just too powerful for the Switch, or just not?
Yeah, it's not made for the Switch. They basically broke the mold to make it work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that had a lot of... performance costs attached to that.
Yeah. I wonder if they're going to bring it to other systems, because it could use a facelift for sure. All right, Eric, what do we got next?
We've got Terror Bane. It's got a release date for April 1st for Nintendo Switch and PC. And Crunching Koalas is the name of the publisher.
I like that. That's cute.
Bit9 Studios is the developer. Meta RPG Adventure Terror Bane is a fourth wall breaking meta RPG that tries to make a classic JRPG style while squashing bugs. So you're killing viruses, kind of like Mega Man Battle Network, only you're doing it with a fantasy type setup, I guess.
That's cool. I wish they would do some gameplay. I'm looking at the trailer now. It's not. I mean, it's just a funny, goofy trailer with a man explaining things. There's not a lot of gameplay or anything like that. So, you know, I mean, just a little bit of gameplay is all we need to get us pumped. You know, I mean, seriously. Okay, here we go. Here's some gameplay. Let me take a quick peek here. Let me play this. And it's got a little cute RPG Maker type, you know, look to it. But it does have some, this is kind of weird. It's kind of a unique idea, but it's like, to me, it reminds me of the manic pace of, a Wario game, but, with developers pretending that they're working on the game in the background. And I don't know exactly what the premise is, but it looks kind of cool. I mean... something a little bit different coming April 1st this year. So unless that's an April Fool's joke, you know, I don't know. But there you go. All right. I think it's my turn, right, Eric?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next story comes to us from Gamatsu. Loopers for Switch launches June 2nd in Japan, and it includes English subtitles. Also supports Japanese and simplified Chinese. And it's going to go for $3,520, which roughly translates to how much in American dollars, Eric? Do you know?
No.
Yeah, well.
Let me see again.
3,520 yen.
That's about 30 bucks.
Yeah. So about 30 bucks. It's kind of standard, right? I mean, actually, that's a little cheaper than...
That's 34, 32-ish range. Yeah.
Still, that's not bad for a Switch game, you know.
They'll probably price it at 30 if it gets put on Western digital storefronts.
Yeah, for sure. But there you go. I don't know what this game is about, but...
But, there's going to be retail version, so it's probably only going to be available through PLA Asia, because I don't think there'll be a publisher that will distribute in the West.
Yeah, probably not. Not enough money involved. But there you go. All right, Eric, what do you got next?
I've got the Wonder Boy collection. If Break were here, he'd be doing the Tenacious D song right now. But it's four Wonder Boy games, which is the original Wonder Boy, which made the offshoot of it called Adventure Island, as everybody knows what that is. Everybody who's been in gaming since like the 80s probably knows what Adventure Island is. But it was originally Wonder Boy. And all they really did was they did a sprite change and threw a cap on him instead. It changes the hair color. But then there's Wonder Boy in Monster Land.
Sorry.
And then there's Wonder Boy in Monster World, and then Monster World 4. Which, the Sega Vintage Collection has those last three games. But it does not have Dragon's Curse, which is kind of disappointing, but that already has its own release in the form of a remake, which lets you play with the original graphics and music anyway, so there's no point to it being on this collection.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not a big deal, right? I mean, yeah. you get these four games.
And there's the remake of Monster World 4, which if you bought the retail version, you could play the original Monster World 4 on your Switch or your PS4. But you can't buy that otherwise, so this is another way you could play that.
Well, that's cool. I mean, these are pretty decent games, right? Right, Eric?
Yeah.
Not bad. All right, cool deal.
The last two Monster World games are better than the first, because the first is kind of... still has the mold of an arcade game.
Yeah, yeah. All right, anything else on this, Eric?
Not really.
All right. Next story comes to us also from Gamatsu. Capcom Fighting Collection, announced for the PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC, includes 10 titles... with rollback netcode. So it's going to be out physically and digitally on June 24th, 2 days before my birthday, worldwide for $39.99.
Yeah, there was another Wonder Boy game that's not on this collection. That's Wonder Boy Monster Lair, which is a scrolling arcade game.
Yeah. All right. So included in this is actually a good... little fighting collection here, Eric. Darkstalkers, The Night Warriors, Night Warriors, Darkstalkers Revenge, Vampire Savior, The Lord of Vampire, Vampire Hunter 2, Darkstalkers Revenge, Vampire Savior 2, The Lord of Vampire. I mean, any more vampirisms, it'd be great. Red Earth, Cyberbots, Full Metal Madness, Super Gem Fighter Mini Mix, and Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo and Hyper Street Fighter 2. So that's...
They didn't include Pocket Fighters because it's essentially the same game as Super Gem Fighter. In fact, that's just the localized title that it was made for the PlayStation release and the Saturn release. But I think the only reason all the different variations of Darkstalkers here are because there are some like color palette changes that you can select for your characters.
Yeah, yeah.
And a couple other changes, too, but not much.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's...
I'm guessing M2 is doing the coding for this, because they've been doing all kinds of collections lately. And, like, usually when there's, like, the Japanese versions of games included on the collection list, it's because of their involvement.
Yeah. And there's some key features, but it's like, I mean, it's got all the Darkstalker stuff and, you know, just a cool little collection here. Not bad.
I'd pick it up.
Yeah.
The rollback netcode would be great for all of those.
Of course, of course.
Because all the previous collections don't have that stuff.
And Freak5's in chat. What's up, Freak5? Thanks for saving chat, man. Nobody showed
up. And
we
haven't seen a Darkstalkers anything since the 360 and PS3 re-release.
Yeah.
Which has since been delisted.
Yeah. So Freak5 has saved chat. I think everybody's playing the Elden Ring right now. Darkstalkers is an awesome game. I agree, Freak5. And this collection has a lot of the Darkstalkers stuff. I wish they would revive Darkstalkers and do like a new game, like with the modern.
Well, part of the reason that's why collections like this happen, because like they always see who's playing the most or whatever on the collection, and then get data from that, and then try their hand at doing a new project.
Yeah, I mean the rollback netcode is key to this too. Where's Wyland when you need him? I mean he's playing it.
No, actually, he's probably not playing Elden Ring because he doesn't have it yet, I think.
I bet you he's playing Elden Ring. What you want to bet he got it? I bet you he got it.
Maybe that's why Dungeon's not here.
I bet you. Dungeon will show up late, probably. But there you go. All right, Eric, you get the honor of the last story.
The last story. That was the last story, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, great.
We got homie discounts, though.
We do have homie discounts, so tell us about the homie discounts, Eric.
PS Plus games for March. Let's see. Pretty good ones compared to the next one. But PlayStation Plus games that are free. Ghost Runner. Sonic Racing. Team Sonic Racing, sorry. Ark Evolved, which, ew. But whatever.
Yeah, right.
And Ghost of Tsushima Legends, which is the version with the DLC. And this is the PS5 and PS4 version.
I thought that Legends was just the multiplayer aspect of it. Yeah, it's not
standalone cooperative multi. Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's just you don't get Ghost of Tsushima. You just get.
I was hoping I'd get that, and I wouldn't have to buy it now.
I know. I'll wait till a sale gets on Ghost of Tsushima, though. It'll go on sale soon, Eric.
I haven't seen it less than 40 yet. I'm waiting
for
that.
Yeah, wait for it to drop. I mean, it'll be at $20 before you know it, or even cheaper.
By Black Friday, hopefully.
Yeah, Ghost Runner. Is an interesting title for the PS5. I heard good things about that. And, of course, Sonic Team Racing is pretty good. Even though
I already have Ghost Runner, though. So, but this is the PS4 version, I think.
This is the PS5 version.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Why not both, though? I mean...
Yeah, well, I know. Whatever. I mean...
It was a free update, so...
Yeah. Sonic Team Racing is a pretty decent game as well, so not too bad. All right, yeah.
At least I could play that at 60 frames per second as opposed to whatever the Switch version's doing.
Yeah, exactly. All right, what do you got going on for the next homie discount?
Microsoft's offering for Games for Gold. These are stinkers. There's only like one slightly okay game in Sacred 2, but the rest are questionable. And I need to load it because... I don't know why it has the... my link is broken.
Okay. I don't know what's going on with yours, but it looks like Street...
Oh, I think I know what happened. There we go.
You got it? Sacred 2 is the highlight, but even that's like...
That's so a 360. We got Sacred 2, The Flame and the Flood, and... I don't know what this other one is.
Street Power something. I don't even know what the
Street Power is. Soccer and SpongeBob's Truth or Square.
Yeah, Truth or Square is the weaker of the SpongeBob game. So, yeah, I don't know. Not great. Not a great one for Xbox this month. I think.
Are they just trying to kill Games of Gold or something?
Yeah, I think they're trying.
This is the way to do it. If people don't care, they will stop doing it.
Yeah, they'll just move on to the Game Pass. I think they want everybody to go to Game Pass. Freak says, where's Break? Break's on assignment this week, Freak 5. He had something come up, so he's not on this week. But, yeah, I know. That's probably your stinko this week. We know.
I heard the Flame of the Flood is interesting, but it's like not exactly something that thrills most people when they see it.
Right.
Something.
I mean,
because they won't know what the fuck it is.
Yeah, these aren't like world-beating games. I mean,
it is a survival game too, so that doesn't appeal to everybody either.
I do have to say, like, even though Microsoft is killing it with the Game Pass all over PlayStation Now. I mean, PlayStation Plus beats Gold almost every single month. I mean, I say almost every month, but, you know, I mean, I got PS Plus. I don't have Now or the Game Pass, so I still have to get myself an Xbox One, but, you know, whatever. Yeah, he's probably spending his, Freak Fight says, Brake is probably spending his tax return on hookers and blow. Wouldn't doubt it, man. Would not doubt it. All right.
Oh, yeah, and I've got one more homie discount.
Yeah.
This is what you get for listening live, folks, because this is a limited time offer that's only going to last for the weekend. And this is Valentine's Darling Bundle. More Arrowgay games. And titles are, if you pay for $10, you get Magical Girl, Noble Rose, Live Stream Escape from Hotel Izanami, Hero Zex, Adventure Liz in the Erotic Dungeon, Succubus Runa and the Erotic Dungeon, and Nightmare. They don't have any of the hilarious names as previous Arrowgay bundles from IndieGala, but they're probably suitably fine.
Do you usually take advantage of these deals, Eric? I mean, they're pretty much worth it, right? I mean, $10 for
there is another one called the Mind Juice Bundle, but it's a bunch of garbage in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, a couple of the games look interesting, but two of them will only appeal to a certain number of people.
See, I wish,
and the other ones are like crappy 3D CG puzzle games.
I really wish that these games were playable on the Mac. I wouldn't mind playing one of these games on the Mac, but you know, I'm stuck not being able to play them. Can I play this on like an older laptop, Eric? Are these like intense type games or
no? They don't consume resources like modern games.
All right. Well, I might.
I mean, most of them are visual novels or RPG Maker games. So
gotcha. Okay. I might. Might take advantage of this on Bernie's laptop. Don't tell her. I might be playing these games on Bernie's laptop. All right. Any other homie discounts,
Eric? Nope, that's all it. Right.
Yeah, I know there's a new PlayStation sale, but it's almost always the same thing, just different pricing. All right, let's move on to
Inquiring Minds Want to Know.
Inquiring Minds Want to Know what you've been playing, Eric.
Well, I did want to say that Hollow Knight is on sale for $12 on the Xbox Store.
It's a pretty good game. It's really hard, though. Really, really difficult game. If you like,
also, I wanted to make a correction that I made a mistake last week on, but apparently, I forgot that your Switch, Wii U, and 3DS things are connected through Nintendo Network ID, so you could add funds through your Switch eShop account and then go to the storefronts on your 3DS or Wii U and then buy stuff there, but that will be removed at the end of the year or next in the year. So. Yeah.
So get those games in now for the Wii U and the 3DS.
I'm just saying you have an out until March 31st.
Yeah.
If after that point that they remove the ability to add funds through the console directly.
Yeah. All right. Roxy's in chat in the user chat, so welcome. All right. Let's see. What have you been playing?
I've been playing more FF13, not too much, just a little bit. More East Origin, and I'm trying to get the max power achievement, and the easiest way to do that is to play on very easy, and grind at the final area of the game, but even that's taking forever because enemies are only giving me about 25 or 6 experience points per kill.
Yeah.
So right. I don't know. I should probably just mute the game and listen to a podcast, but I'm kind of waiting for the level up ding to show up and know that I've at least gained a level so I can save the game and take a break and just do a daily or something. Yeah. But
yeah. All right. What else have you been playing? Anything else, Eric?
I've also been playing Nightmare Mode, and that's hard.
Yeah.
And like, you're a boost mode that boosts your attack power and your defensive capabilities is useful, but on Nightmare, it goes away as almost as soon as you use it, because they cut the time short for it. Yeah. And enemies hit you like a truck, so you have to really avoid getting hit most of the time.
Yeah.
It makes getting through certain areas trickier, but I'm playing as Hugo, so that helps, because you can fight from a distance.
Yeah. Hey, Freak 5, you're going to have to be the tiebreaker if there's a tiebreaker in our tourney.
No, so. I thought he was going to sub in for a break. Maybe we can add him to the call.
Hey, Freak 5, if you want to call in, feel free. We will.
But other than that, I've been playing Elden Ring. I was hoping that GameStop would do a midnight release like they did for Sekiro, but that wasn't going on, so I had to leave and come home and go to bed, and then I wake up early in the morning to try to see if Walmart had any copies. They didn't have any. The weather was getting bad, so I didn't want to travel all the way to Target to buy one. So I just decided, screw it, I'm going to just get the digital version on PS5 and then buy a physical copy for the Xbox when it's on sale later or whatever.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you've been playing? Oh, what is this?
That's really it. I did a stream earlier today, but I did it for like 4 hours. No one came in. I was the only viewer because I was viewing my feed to make sure I had it accidentally disconnected or something.
Yeah. Hey, Freak 5, if you want to call in, man, he won't be able to call in, he says. Well, you're going to have to be the tiebreaker, my friend. Spaghetti he's having.
Yeah, and I'm never a fan of spaghetti, so...
I like spaghetti, okay.
Joke's on you. You can't make me hungry, Freak.
I had Chinese spaghetti earlier, so... You're lo mein. But anyways, alright.
I might have to go grab something from Dunkin' after this, though, because... Yeah. I need something sweet to eat.
Yeah. I think we're going to wrap up quick here. Eric, I think it's going to be a shorter show this week, and that's fine because I got to go pick up Bernie anyways. But all right, so I've been playing Phoenix Rising. I'm still going through some stuff. I did make some progress. I'm about 21 hours in, so I'm getting there. It's I've been just exploring. I mean, it's such a great world to explore. It's such a good game. I mean, I think that's one of the most underrated games in the past, like, probably 2-3 years. Phoenix Rising is really good. Really fun, decent writing, campy, you know, cartoony fun. But, you know, it's really weird because they like, when they say Rome, it's R-O-M, not R-O-M-E. It's like all Greek mythology type stuff, you know, but it's like...
Well, in the East, the Roman Empire is basically the Roman Empire.
Yeah, exactly. It's sort of like that, like they play on words type thing, and you know what everything is, but, you know, it's just slightly different. So there you go. I mean...
I think it's funny when the East history is, because, like... It basically asks the idea, what if the Roman Empire didn't fall because Alexander didn't lose that battle because he doesn't exist in this universe, so he wouldn't have made that choice.
Yeah, it's like an alternate universe type thing.
And now, like, the Roman Empire exists and they have guns. Industrial level, like, very... Like, big beginning of the industrial level style. Like
revisionist history. There's a really cool... Do you have Amazon, Eric, or no?
Yeah.
I think it's either Amazon or Hulu. There's a series called Man in the High Castle, I believe is what it's called. And it's like a revisionist history of, like, World War II, what if Germany won type thing. And, of course, they take over the United States and things are radically different. But it's pretty interesting, pretty cool. So, you know. All right, that's what we've been playing. Eric, did you have a review? I didn't see anything under reviews. If not, we will move on.
All right. I wanted to watch Kingsman in time for the show, but I didn't get the opportunity. Because a certain game sucked my life away today.
All right. Let's move on to everybody's favorite segment.
What is it?
Stinko of the Week.
All right, Eric, you said to skip yours for now, and I'll go ahead and go with mine. My Stinko of the Week is Russia invading the Ukraine. War is never good. War is going to cause all kinds of problems worldwide. This may seem like a non-issue to Americans, but it's a big issue. Big, big issue. Freak says he's been playing Guild Wars 2. That, you know what? The first Guild Wars I heard was really fun, so why wouldn't Guild Wars 2 be, you know, kind of fun? So, but yeah, my Stinko is Russia invading the Ukraine. I think it's terrible. So, you know, what else? All right, Eric, and we might talk a little bit about it later on in free-for-all.
Okay, here's my Stinko.
All right, go ahead, Eric.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott, probably in an effort to get people to be distracted from his failure last year to adequately supply Texas with the infrastructure that would hold up to a winter storm, and so a year later, he charged people for that, despite the fact that they weren't using electricity, and the people that were obviously had to use more to keep warm. But he charged them exorbitant prices by basically forcing the various electric companies to just put max output on them.
Yeah, great.
So it's a grift to squeeze people out of money.
Of course.
And so he got found out about that, and so he did a bad by making a World War style SS Jew registry, but by basically ordering Child Protective Services to arrest or take away their children away from them if they were supporting their efforts to transition and other such matters related to that. So not only are you outing these kids and they all probably get bullied or worse, but they're going to be taken away from their parents who were supporting them because he thinks what they're doing is child abuse.
Yeah, it's
and he's framed it in such a way that if you're a buffoon, like certain people I've talked to recently, then you think that it's everything's above board and it's done in the interest of protecting kids, but it's not really. Right. If you know anything about Greg Abbott and his efforts to stymie LGBT rights.
Yeah, he definitely has I hate to say this, but I think Greg Abbott is closet gay or queer or something, because he has it in for the LGBTQ community like no other. Freak 5, as I predicted, Stinko is no break man and also snow. So
it's basically the mentality where, like, I'm miserable with my own existence and nobody else who's like me deserves to be happy.
Yeah, it's like projection. You know what I mean? Like I don't know. I always get that feeling, like, I'm always wary when somebody goes hard after gay and lesbian people, that they're, you know, either closeted themselves.
Or they care so much more about their power that they hold on to that they'll throw their own group under the bus.
Yeah.
Because they want that cheddar.
You know, it's either that or they try to take the most vulnerable people and exploit them. It happens here. With homeless people in Denver, like, they've been exploiting homeless people forever here in Denver, and it's an awful thing. It's never a great thing, and, you know, instead of fostering diversity and inclusion and loving everybody, you know, it's sickening. It's awful. And I hate it. I've said many times I have somebody very close to me that's gay, and you know, I don't like when people gay bash. I don't approve of any of that nonsense. So, you know. Freak5 says, yesterday at work, I noticed one of the drugs had stickers that said, don't use if allergic to peanuts. This drug was going into the robots that automatically dispense the drug, so the stickers wouldn't be used. So I snagged them to stick on random things. My first thought was, go to an adult bookstore and put them on sex toys. Jeez. Don't use if allergic to peanuts. How funny. That would be a great use of those, man. Don't use if you're allergic to peanuts.
I just forgot there was one more game I did play this week.
All right, what is it, Eric?
The Final Fantasy VI Remaster.
Oh,
Pixel Remaster.
How is it so far?
It's pretty good. I mean, a lot of people were worried about sprites because, yeah, there's some lack of detail, but there's additional detail that makes up for it. Like, characters aren't a mess of a single color anymore. So certain details that were there but hard to see are definitely more identifiable. Kefka is really colorful looking. You can see all the different aspects of Zalbit. Sprites are a little weird because the screen size is big. I think the aspect ratio for these games is a little off, yeah. No matter what resolution setting you're using.
Yeah.
But it still looks fine. Yeah. And I think the scanline filters are way too thick, so they need to fix that. And
maybe they'll patch it later.
And people that were kind of upset about the Phantom Train thing, they did fix it. So they were using pre-release fixes where Sabin wasn't correctly suplexing the train and it wasn't upside down. But like another person had, like a couple other people had complaints about how Saiyan's arm looks broken, but it was a small video you were looking at, and looking at it up front, it still looks kind of stiff, but they did change it a little bit. But I think all what's going on is that they just didn't animate his right arm, and it looks like his left arm isn't moving because the frames aren't updating correctly.
Yeah.
And I think they fixed that so that you can see his left arm moving.
Huh.
But okay. The right arm is still in place.
All right, well, I mean, that's fairly good news, I say. By the way, how's Elden Ring, real quickly, your first impressions?
It's hard.
Yeah, I figured as much. But
I killed a dragon on a horse.
Oh.
And I probably wasn't ready to fight them, because my weapons were doing kind of crap damage, but I just managed to avoid getting hit, so I killed him eventually. It probably didn't help that I started with the crazy idea of playing as the Waste of Skin type of Soul Level 1 character, where you start out basically naked, and the point of this run is to just be a scavenger of sorts and just work with what you got. Mm-hmm. And I'm probably going to work towards a build at some point, but I still don't have a decent weapon.
Yeah.
But I haven't killed the first major boss yet, so maybe it's only a matter of time. I was lucky enough that I found armor off of two different enemies. It's kind of heavy, though. I'm still mid-rolling, so it's okay, though.
Yeah. I mean, it's a typical Souls game, right? With a little bit of Sekiro thrown in.
Yeah, you're still an undead person, but you at least don't look like a ghastly, emaciated corpse anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, which is, there's nothing wrong with that, to be honest. I mean, you know.
In Sekiro, you were an undead person, basically. I mean, yeah. You can't die because a parasite's keeping you alive.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to...
Or in Sekiro's case, it's because he's been bestowed with the blood of the dragon's heir, who's the prince.
Oh, Freak5 has another stinko.
But everybody else who tries to get that power is basically a zombie.
Yeah.
Ghoul.
Another stinko from Freak5. He was at his Trump-supporting grandfather's house. How is that even possible, Freak5? And noticed that there are no pictures of his non-white or mixed grandchildren or great-grandchildren anywhere. Geez, I wonder why, Freak 5. I wonder why. All right, let's move on to happier thoughts.
Dude, what does my tattoo say?
Sweet! Sweet of the week!
All right, did you have a sweet of the week, Eric?
Not really.
All right. I have one, and this is going to sound weird because we all support mask mandates on this show, right? We were all, you know, kind of you know, on that bandwagon, but the CDC has released some restrictions. So 70% of the country is are going to loosen the restrictions on mask mandates, and I think this is the right move. And I'll tell you why. Because there's a lot of unrest in the United States, as there was in Canada, because people are being kind of sick and tired of being told what to do, right? I've talked to several people on the ground in Canada, because I'm like, you know, with this whole trucker convoy going on, I mean, you would think that this is all a right-leaning movement about, you know, anti-vax and anti-mask, and it's not about that, right? It's about the choice, whether or not to vaccinate, because they've had a huge problem up in Canada with particular vaccines killing kids. I mean, there were 300 kids killed. I believe the number was either 14,000 or 17,000, which I believe is a little too much. It's still within, I mean, but just thinking about the numbers, it's too much for kids to handle, at least that those particular vaccines, the ones that they were doing up in Canada. So the mask mandates, I think at this point, if you don't have your vaccine, you're never going to get your vaccine. So, I mean, you're going to be playing with fire for the rest of your life. You know, if you want to play with that fire, so be it. Why should it be upon anybody else to
protect you? I just think maybe they thought that trying to get the message about proper vaccine and virus education is more important, because when you do that, people will be more receptive. Yeah. And if you put a mandate there, that's only going to be a barrier to avoid winning them over.
Mandates are always barriers, right? And I just, you know, unless it was some like weird end of days type event, like a zombie outbreak, or, you know, like if you get this disease, it's 100% going to kill you type thing. I don't think that there's any place for government to say you will do this or you will do this. Like if they're
going to try what I suggested, which is just going to make it harder for people to opt out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's just, for
like
me,
if you really, 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 really want to opt out, you're going to have to do this and this and this and this.
Right, which is fine. I mean, if you want to make it more difficult, then you make it more difficult. I mean, people are going to opt out. You know, it's just, I don't know. It just, to me, it doesn't make sense anymore for almost anybody to wear a mask other than, you know, you want to protect.
I find it funny. I've seen some tweets about how some people are showing other people making tweets about how they finally caved and got their shot, and they were complaining about it. And they said, "I got my shot. I did it against my will, but it wasn't that bad."
Yes,
it's like,
right.
Yeah, it's like, right. Why were you complaining?
It really isn't. I mean, it's not to me.
And they're like fucking Goku and Dragon Ball, who's afraid of a fucking needle.
Yeah, I know.
And from what I hear, they're apparently working on doing a nasal spray. But, like, so far they've only got boosters, but they're working towards just a full vaccination.
Yeah, and I think I have a problem with them calling it a vaccination, Eric. I don't, like for instance, like the flu shot, right? We don't call that a vaccination, right? Even though it protects you, like, what, 60% in most cases from whatever seasonal flu is.
I mean, it is a vaccination. It's not an inoculation, though.
No. But I don't really consider it a vaccine protects you like almost 100%, right? I mean, that's kind of the literal definition of a vaccine. Like if you get a polio vaccine, for instance, that's a true vaccine, right? I mean, this one's fairly close. It's what, like 85-90%
effective?
Yeah,
but very few vaccines are actually 100% effective.
Right. No, I understand. I get it. But I just don't, I think if you didn't call it a vaccine, you would have had a much more success rate with it. I honestly do. I think if you called it like a COVID-19 shot, right, like a flu shot, more people would be inclined to get it, you know. But they failed miserably on a lot of fronts. So I think these mandates going down are kind of a good thing. I mean, if you don't have a shot by now, I don't know what to tell you. But I did have a chance to kind of understand the actual people on the ground in Canada, like in Ontario. I had an opportunity to talk to some people that live in Canada and are on the ground and whatnot. And people were saying that it was an anti-vaccine movement. And it was not that at all. For them, it was about the freedom of choice, right? Like, give us the option. Like, in Canada, they were starting to mandate vaccines. And that's why the CDC lessened guidelines here in the United States. Because, like, even here in Denver, right? A colleague of mine called 911 and was on hold for twice. And it's because they didn't have enough people, because people were not liking the vaccine mandates and the mask mandates and whatnot, right? Which I think it's ludicrous not to get your vaccine, right? Don't get me wrong. I'm very much pro-vaccine. I think they work. I know the science works. I've seen the studies, you know, pharma studies that suggest that it's 90% effective or above. It's fine. You know, the numbers of people that are dying from the vaccine are way, you know, way low. It's very safe. It's not, you know, you can die from it, but it's like less than a chance of getting struck by lightning, right? Like minute chance that you're going to die. It's like somebody saying you're going to get autism from a vaccine. It's just not going to happen, right? So I do believe in the way that the mask work. It's not intended for, you know, preventing you from getting the virus. It's to help others from getting it from you, like if you're carrying it. But in all honesty, when the CDC, directly from Fauci's mouth, says that everybody in the United States is going to get this COVID strain by the end of the year, what difference does vaccines really make? Or I'm sorry, a mask. What difference do they really make? If everybody's going to get it by the end of the year, guaranteed, then what? Why are we suffering, you know, through all these mask mandates? You know, I mean, if you're going to get it, you're going to get it. And if you haven't vaccinated, that's your fault. And I don't really have any sympathy if you get really sick. I mean, I can't say that because I actually do. I don't like to see people suffering. Except certain people, but it's kind of your own fault, and that's just the way that it is. Free Fry says, I did find on Amazon's stickers that say for rectal use only. Why were you looking for rectal use only stickers, Free Five, is what I'm wondering. I need to think of places to stick them. My first two thoughts were my grandfather's life-size cardboard Trump cutout. Yeah, that'd be a good one. And baby Jesus in a nativity scene. Wow. And then I realized Hobby Lobby probably has lots of things that need that sticker. Oh, yeah, of course, man. His sweeto, his tax return showed up this week.
Freak, get all this stuff and make a sequel to Dirty Work and make that the plot of the movie.
That would be funny, man. That's awesome, man. All right, did you think of a sweeto yet, Eric?
Nope.
All right, let's move on to if it ever does it. All right, we're going to finish up this tournament, even though break isn't here. We're kind of under the gun, but Freak Five is going to step in and give chat a vote on these two matchups, three matchups. So we're going to decide the greatest video game couple of all time, Eric. And then if we have time left over, we'll discuss some topics. But let's go with the first matchup here. First, I guess, semifinal. Master Chief and Cortana versus Samus and Baby Metroid. I'm going to go first on this one. I'm going to say Samus, Baby Metroid. Eric, what say you? Just because I like a non-couple couple winning, you know? I mean, that's my
reason. I know, I'm going to say Samus Baby Metroid.
Oh, so Samus a Baby Metroid does the big... And obviously, I believe Break would have picked Master Chief and Cortana. But let's see what Freak 5 says. We'll go ahead and move Samus and Baby Metroid on. Freak 5, if you're listening, Master Chief and Cortana versus Samus and Baby Metroid, who would you have picked? And we shall move on to the next matchup, since there was 2 out of 3. I'm still waiting for Freak to give us a pick on that one, but let's move on. Ellie and Riley from The Last of Us versus Tidus and Yuna from Final Fantasy X. Eric, I'll let you go first.
Ellie and Riley.
All right. I would have said Master Chief because that is who Break would have picked. All right. We'll wait for Freak 5's next pick, Ellie and Riley versus Last of Us, or from The Last of Us versus Tidus and Yuna from Final Fantasy X. I'll let Freak pick first before I pick. So we'll give him a chance to pick. And actually, you know what? He picked Tidus and Yuna, so I'm the tiebreaker on this one. Huh. I really like Ellie and Riley's story in Last of Us, Eric. I think it's... Did you play that DLC?
No.
I did. It was good. It was really, really good.
I have the game. I just haven't had the time to play that DLC.
Oh, it's good, man. It's really good. I like it. I like it a lot.
And then there's the remake coming out, so it's like, I don't know. Should I even bother at this point?
I don't know. I would. I mean, I think so. I mean, I think it's worth going through. It's not that long. I mean, you could probably finish it in one sitting, maybe two. You got Tidus and Yuna, which is an all-time love story. At least as far as Final Fantasy goes and all of gaming. I mean, everybody knows Tidus and Yuna's love story. I think I'm going to go with Tidus and Yuna on this one, Eric. I do like the love story with Ellie and Riley quite a bit. I think it's great. Our final LGBT couple goes down in flames. Tidus and Yuna moves on. We're down to Samus and Baby Metroid versus Tidus and Yuna.
I'm reminded of how Slayer got upset at my choices last week, but I had a plan. The plan was to vote to get certain matchups to happen and to vote against whoever was going up against Ellie and Riley, because I wanted them to win, but I can't do it now.
Cecil and Rosa from Final Fantasy IV should have been in the bracket. I didn't want to overload it. I mean, I only had 16 choices, Freak 5. There were a couple of, I think, Final Fantasy choices in here. I can't remember. I have to look back. But that's a good one, for sure. Cecil and Rosa, for sure. All right, I'm going to go first on this one, Eric. I'm going to go with Samus and Baby Metroid. I know Tidus and Yuna has an all-time love story, but I like the underdog. I'm going to pick the underdog, Samus and Baby Metroid. Let's go. Let's see what Freak 5 picks on this matchup. Samus and Baby Metroid versus Tidus and Yuna from Final Fantasy X. We'll wait. We'll eagerly await Freak 5's choice. And then, he picks Tidus and Yuna. So the tiebreaker is you, Eric. Who do you pick to win the greatest video game couple of all time?
Considering my plan went up in smoke, I'm going with Samus and Baby
Metroid. Oh, the biggest upset in the history of RP Grinders. Samus and Baby Metroid from the Metroid series take the top spot, the greatest couple in all of video gaming history. You heard it here first. A big upset. I mean, I did not expect Samus and Baby Metroid to get this far, but indeed, they have gotten this far. So congratulations to, they're so cute, Samus and the Baby Metroid. Congratulations to the happy couple, Samus and Baby Metroid. It is a really cool little story in that, which one was it where the baby, I think it wasn't, was it Super Metroid, Eric, where the baby comes back and helps Samus at the end.
Yeah, and then the story basically continues after their death because Samus's DNA had to be altered to have Metroid DNA injected into her, and it was the baby Metroids.
Yeah. So lots of fertile ground there, and the closest that any two people in this or whatever creatures in this whole thing got, right? And when you're sharing DNA, I mean, other than, you know, sleeping with each other, I mean, this is closer than that, you know. So very, very appropriate. Samus and Baby Metroid win the whole tournament. All right, Eric, did you want to talk about anything before we get out of here?
Let's see. I wanted to talk about the Activision and Bungie buyout. Sony and Bungie buyout.
And Bungie, yeah. What did you want to talk specifically about on that, Eric?
A lot of people saying it was reactionary, but no. Bungie has a habit of letting themselves be bought by other companies, and it's usually for the their own purposes of having more resources to work with. And then when they think they've outstayed their welcome, they make plans to go independent again until they find somebody else that can help them out. And the reason Sony wanted them is because they want their ability to be able to create live service stuff. Because that's the kind of game Destiny is.
Well, here's the thing. It definitely was reactionary, right? I mean,
no, they planned this for years.
Well, I mean, I think it, but see here, Eric, like they didn't close it until after all the shit with Activision and all the other companies that Microsoft bought, right?
I think it's coincidental, but I think
maybe it
happened sooner than they wanted to.
Yeah,
like. Basically,
right. So, in other words,
Sony's hand was forced because of Microsoft. I think that just made it easier for them to opine to Sony, and Sony agreed.
Yeah, but here's my thing, Eric. Like, it definitely was in at least in part reactionary, right? And I don't think they had a choice. They have to start. I think the only other thing that would help Sony. And they would be wise if they threw a shit ton of money at Square Enix and bought Square Enix. I don't think any other move that they could do at this point would...
I think people wanting somebody to buy Konami is a stupid idea. Because Konami is a multi-business owning company. They do more than just video games.
Yeah, but I don't think...
To buy them would require a ridiculous amount of money that nobody would be willing to pay for.
I think what Sony should do is not only buy Square Enix, right? Which, obviously, they have the money to do. I think they should throw money at the IPs.
They don't really need to when they have this arrangement going on anyways where games are getting exclusive releases.
Yeah, no, but I... Look, Eric, they're going to have to do something, right? There's too many companies...
And I don't I don't even want to talk about this because I don't want to think about it.
Well, you're going to have to think about it because some things are going to happen, Eric. There's going to be other companies that Sony buys and Microsoft buys, right? I mean, if they would be absolutely stupid not to talk to Square Enix at this point, all right? With all of the billions that Microsoft has, they could easily go to Square Enix and offer more money, right? So they need to go into Square Enix right now and say, look, we'll give you this amount of money. It's a fair price. We don't want you going over to... We realize that Microsoft probably already has made an offer and you stood fast, which is great. But we want to acquire you. We think your studio is great, blah, blah, blah.
But whatever they want to do. Anything like Bungie's acquisition, they're still going to... Maybe they'll probably still be a multi-platform.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, that's fine.
Developer/publisher.
But they at least have a portfolio of companies under their banner where if Microsoft starts to not play nice, like in other words, if they have a year exclusive on Oblivion, Elder Scrolls, right? then they can do things like, okay, well, we're going to do a year exclusive on, you know, any Square Enix titles. I mean, they're going to have to do something, Eric, to stay competitive. Otherwise, Microsoft eventually is going to bulldoze the lot. And that's not what anybody wants, right?
I'm reminded of Sony's Spartacus plan, which is basically going to expand PS Now to include PlayStation Plus and their PlayStation Video service.
Yeah.
But they're going to be tiered.
Yeah, I don't know if I like that, but
how about you just make it one cost
right,
for everything,
right?
And then maybe do it like the way Ultimate, like Game Pass Ultimate is, where it's like $15 a month.
Yeah,
and if you just want online capability, then you pay like $10 or something.
Yeah, yeah. But I think they should also talk to Konami not to buy the company, but to buy certain IPs like Castlevania and other. And I'm talking about like a shared. Let me finish before you talk. Let me just get it out before you just shit all over my idea. I think they should think about buying the video game rights, not the other shit, because I know Konami's not going to want to give up that Pachinko money or any of the gambling stuff or any of that, but I think they really should think about buying the video game rights, right? That way they have in their pocket the Castlevanias, the Silent Hills, all that type of stuff. And I also think that they should really consider Capcom. Capcom would be a big feather in their cap, and I think if they got all three of those companies, I think that would firmly say that Sony is here to stay.
And I just think that Konami's being weird because, like,
a while back
they've basically let their IPs be open for sublicensing for a long time, but no one's picked it up, any of those IPs.
Yeah,
so I'm wondering. Is nobody interested in their IPs, or are they just not doing enough legwork to try to make things happen?
I think that's the latter, man. Freak 5 says, other ideas for the rectal stickers, gas pumps. Wow. The plasticware and straws at Chick-fil-A. Even funnier.
Because they find in Japanese indie developer to develop a Getsu Fumiden sequel that is a roguelike.
Yeah.
And that's like the only thing I've seen so far I come out of this.
Yeah. Even funnier is if I worked at Chick-fil-A and stuck the stickers on the wrappers of people's food. Oh, man, you'd get in so much trouble, but it would be so worth it just to work there one day for that, Freak 5. I can just imagine someone complaining, I didn't want the rectal chicken sandwich. I wanted the one I eat with my mouth. he says, I do love dirty work. These cars are fully loaded with dead hookers. Dirty Work is kind of an underrated movie, man. I kind of like that movie as well. All right, anything else you wanted to talk about, Eric, before we
get on? I wanted to talk about the Ukraine thing going on.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
But I'd rather wait till break is here so we could all talk about it.
All right, maybe we'll do that next week. We'll have another month of... no tourneys next month, and we'll just do we'll do topics. And next week we'll talk about Russia, Ukraine. I'm sure there'll be more news out of what's going on and whatnot. So, I think that's a good point of ending right now. I got to go pick up Bernie, anyways. Eric.
Oh yeah, I did have another stinko from like 2 weeks ago, but I finally took care of it because my appointment came. But I had to get a filling because I had a cavity.
Ooh, so, no bueno.
At least I only have to pay like $40-something.
Yeah, that's good, man. That's decent price, I guess.
Because the last dental plan I had to pay like... Well, I had a lot of cavities, and I had to pay like closer to 90 for those.
No bueno. So,
kind of garbo.
Yeah.
Insurance.
All right, let's...
And that was after I... That was after reaching my deductible, because I had had it for a while.
Yeah. Damn. All right. Let's go ahead and end things there, Eric. I know it was a short show this week. That's okay. It's we'll wait till next week to discuss more topics with Breakman. We'll talk about Ukraine and Russia and probably a bunch of other shit. I'm sure Break has tons to say. So we'll just hold that for next week. Sound good, Eric?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go ahead and do our plugs. Eric, plug away.
You could find my written reviews for video games on BostonBasketballGuy.com. Otherwise, you can listen to me do audio reviews on the podcast feed. Yeah. And yeah. If you like either of those things and you want to support me, and my video card came in, so I'm going to be doing streaming with that in the future. All right. That'd be another thing you could support me on Patreon for, or you could just sub to Twitch outright, I guess. I'll have to work out the details for that later, though. But the link to my Patreon is in my Twitter profile, which is at EricRPG.
All right.
So if you send, even give me as little as $1 a month, that'd be helpful.
All right.
I could buy small indie games once per month, usually.
Yeah, that's cool. All right, anything else, Eric?
Stay safe. The roads might be icy. Although the snow has melted here a little bit. So I don't know how icy it is now, but I'm sure other places are bad.
Yeah. All right.
I know it's really cold in Texas right now.
Yeah. All right, I'd like to thank Roxy and Alto for being in chat. Also, a special thanks to Freak 5 for being kind of the third vote for any and all tournament-type dealings, and also for being in chat and saving chat while everybody else is playing Elden Rings today. Let's see, you can follow me on Twitter at Frank
Brecht. Or they're playing Soul Cresta, which is a shmup.
Yeah. You can follow me on Twitter at Frank Branches, or you can follow me on any of the systems, RP Grinders. I'm mostly on the PlayStation, but I do from time to time pick up the Switch, and to a lesser extent, I am on the Xbox. I'm just kind of waiting to get an Xbox One before I
start. Oh, yeah, there's at least two other games that came out this week.
Yeah.
Monarch and Atelier Sophie.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about those. Freak 5 says, time to pay the piper, nose biter. Jeez.
And more guess what games. Comes out next week? So many fucking games.
I know. What comes out next week?
Next week, we Triangle Strategy. I'm going to pick that up. Because it's a Nintendo Polish game. It's not going to go down in price.
All right.
Unless like Best Buy sells it for $40. I'm not going to wait that long because it's the type of game that probably won't get a large print.
All right. All right. I think that's about wraps it up. Next week will be full force, regular show. Break will be back. The world will be happy. Freak 5 will be happy. And, you know, the world will be happy. But anyways, I think that does it for us. Stay safe this weekend. We want to see you back here next week. Until then, we are out. Later, everybody.